Today's word is immortality. Immortality is immunity from death. Here we shall consider only the immortality of the soul, which is at once a truth of faith and reason. Divine revelation is wholly ordered to eternal life, the supernatural destiny of man. In Holy Scripture, life on earth is termed a pilgrimage to a country above, see Genesis 47:9 and Hebrews 11:13-16. Ecclesiastes states the same explicitly, quote, "The dust return into its earth from whence it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it," unquote. The allusion is to the creation of man, whom God made of body formed from the earth, and soul infused directly by himself into the body, Genesis 2:7. In the Gospel, Jesus refutes the Sadducees by reminding them that God is the God of Abraham and of the other patriarchs, who cannot be altogether dead, because God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Matthew 22:31. And in another place he admonishes, quote, "Fear ye not them that kill the body, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell," unquote. Matthew 10:28. Tradition is unanimous on this doctrine, and that is why the magisterium of the Church has never felt the need of defining a truth which has always been apparent in the conscience of the faithful. Only the Fifth Lateran Council spoke up against the audacious denials of certain Neo-Aristotelians. Thus, the immortality of the soul is a truth of faith, but it is also a truth of reason. The best of the old philosophers admitted and proved it. A famous dialogue of Plato, perhaps the most beautiful he wrote, the Phaedon, is also a celebrated demonstration of the immortality of the soul. The soul of its very nature is immortal. Christian philosophy and theology prove it with the following arguments. 1. The human soul is spiritual, as is demonstrated from the fact that its specific operation, intellection and volition, and consequently its being, is independent of matter. Now spirit is of its nature simple, that is, not composed of parts, and so not corruptible, not subject to decomposition like matter. 2. Man naturally aspires to immortality. Witness history and human institutions. Now this aspiration, which is rooted in the conscience of mankind, cannot be a mere idle aspiration. 3. Man conceives truth, which is eternal, timeless, and spaceless. But he could not conceive it unless he too were of the same makeup, for there must be proportion between conceiver and conceived, between subject and object. 4. No adequate sanction is had in this life for man's goodness or malice. God's wisdom and justice demand such a sanction, hence there must be another life.